When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's it. We're on. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. This is Nick Jens from Holistic Health Anxiety Coaching. Hope everyone's really well today. I've got a special guest speaker with me, Joe Gaffalo, who runs a community sleep challenge. So we're going to learn a lot about sleep today, and we might even discover why we don't sleep. What are the major reasons why we don't sleep? And so how does this cause anxiety, depression in our lives, and how important is it to have a quality night's sleep? And yeah, we'll run through. We've just shared a lot of nuggets here with Joey. And first of all, Joey, thank you for coming along to the podcast. And it was really wonderful to find ourselves and connect on Facebook. But you were looking for, well, first introduce yourself. Tell me more about the 90-day sleep challenge, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you having me on here, Nick. And so right now I'm leading a small community, mostly focused on addressing depression with holistic solutions. And one of the ways I wanted to begin to address it is with sleep, you know, and helping the community I'm leading, and really as a peer, regulate their sleep cycles. So encouraging one another through this 90-day sleep challenge to commit to a certain bedtime, so they're getting in a regular routine of going to bed at, let's say, 10 p.m. And then, you know, I set a wake-up time as optional, but really just prioritizing getting in bed at the same time every night to start regulating your circadian rhythm and regulating your sleep cycle. So yeah, basically just getting started with the basics, and that's kind of what this challenge is all about.
How long does it take to, you know, there's a lot of us actually have awkward sleeping times, and sometimes get stuck, and like everything's habitual, everyone's a habit. How long do you think it takes to break the habit of sleeping late and get into the 10 p.m. in bedtime? And how do you prepare for that? And how long do you think it takes to break the habit or create that new habit?
Yeah, that's a great question. It definitely varies for everyone, you know, and obviously, if you have a varying work schedule, that can make it a little more complicated. But, you know, I would say take it in increments. So let's say your goal is to get to bed at, you know, 10 p.m. So one thing that can be helpful is going to bed incrementally, maybe 5 or 10 minutes earlier every night, and kind of working your way to that goal. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's been helpful for me.
Incrementation, that's the formula, the winning formula for a lot of things. Have you read a book, what's it called, the habits or the atomic a little bit of sleep, but it'll come
to
the Atomic Habits, James Clear. There you go, I've got that.
I have read that one, but I really like is the compound effect. So it's kind of, you know, doing those small things every day, and they don't seem super monumental, but over time, you know, that adds up and you see that curve of progress. So yeah, Atomic Habits is a great one of just building those daily habitual routines, and it's just baby steps, but consistently over time, those definitely will compound.
Beautiful. Hey, just to change the subject, I watched a movie last night called Afraid. Afraid. Mm. This is actually what we might be talking about. It kind of relative to the to this particular topic. We'll go deeper in that a little bit, but in the beginning of the movie, there was like so much anxiety, you know, the family's all over the shop, you know, and they need an AI intelligence to help them out with, you know, ordering shopping online, because you can do that in the future, right? Just press the button and the thing does it and sends you, which really creates an organized mind, right? It was the interesting movie to watch. Yeah, it was a bit of a thriller, futuristic kind of thing. What where are we going with AI, and is that going to help us with our sleep? Like, you know, how are we going to be, like, you can see that in the movie, like how stressed society is, you know. You know, you can see mom and dad got like three kids and they've got a million things they're trying to handle, and they've got a marketing company they're trying to run, and, you know, and mom studying and all that sort of stuff. And to me, it was so stressful. And when they got the computer package came in, you know, that seemed to improve their life. They were able to sleep more, you know, they were their lives more organized. They were able to, some of the problems were taken care of, right? Because managing life and families is something. So what do you think of that? What do you think of stress and anxiety? That hinders a lot of our sleep, doesn't it? Worries about work, relationship, personal issues, keeps the mind racing and making it difficult to relax.
Yeah, that's a big one for sure, of just having sometimes what seems like an endless to-do list of things you need to catch up on, big or small, you know, but that can definitely go through your head constantly. And, you know, depending on what your work life is, you know, for me, I'm in sales, so I carry a quota. So that's always kind of hanging over my head of, am I going to meet my goal this month, or how am I looking so far? So I'll find myself sometimes, you know, whether it's the weekend or sometimes just thinking about it. And it's something to where you really need to make a conscious effort to detach from it at times. And, you know, some of that may come through meditation or prayer, or, you know, just general mindfulness of being present with what you're doing in the moment. So it can be a lot with the day to day. But I think a lot of it comes back to a practice of mindfulness and really grounding yourself in what's happening now.
Okay. I love that. It's organizing yourself, doing the self-coping things, or you call it, get as many comfortable actions possible, comforting actions. We need to have a list of those, right? Because I know the 10 p.m. strategy and increments are great, but we don't have a managed life or system, or, you know, I think it's like, all right, no, you know, you got to do something called you got to tick your boxes, right? Got to tick you got to keep ticking, looking at the boxes and just ticking, did I do that today? How am I managed? Did I manage to that? Why haven't I done that? Where did I distract? So I guess, it's good. It's good getting in that habit of sleeping earlier. That's cool. What else can you share?
Yeah, you talked about habits. So there are a lot of apps that will help you track your daily habits and, you know, help keep yourself accountable. So, you know, let's say if you want to commit to reading at least 10 pages a day of a book that's going to help you grow your career, or just be, you know, help you with your mental health, whatever the subject is. But, you know, you can, like you said, in the app, you know, just mark a little check there, and it's a lot easier to keep track of it electronically than it is to, you know, remember to go to your journal or, you know, daily planner. That's just what's been most helpful for me. And then also, if you're trying to quit something or quit a bad habit, let's say smoking, eating junk food, there's a great app I'll recommend. It's called Sober Time. Mm-hmm. And that's a great one if you're just trying to like quit, you know, social media, or you know, just track how long you've gone since your last, you know, the junk food you've had or last time you've had fast food, and that will just keep you accountable. And it's definitely rewarding seeing the days and the months compound, and then that's a great way to you know, kick bad habits. So you know, it's good to track your daily good habits that you're building, and then you know, what are you trying to quit as well, and having something to track that will give you kind of those wins to go back to when you're building the good habits. So some of it's been helpful for me.
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking, I got kind of a little bit confused in it, but the thing I was looking for is a habit tracker. That's mm-hmm. the habit tracker. You can get it in applications. You can create your own physical one by, you know, can get mm-hmm. check it kind of paper notebook. Also, we can actually get motivated, we can actually earn points, right? You can link that up with flight centers, and before you know it, every time you go for a walk, or if you do sleep well, you slept down before 10, you know, you earn X amount of points. Before you know it, you get a free flight somewhere, and you know. So that's
gamification is really great idea as well. And that's something I should start doing for myself. You know, you can even, let's say, I guess you could give yourself points. And if you, you know, after a certain amount, let's say you'll treat yourself to a, you know, a nice, like a snack or, you know, eating out, or, you know, maybe treating yourself to a nice, you know, Starbucks drink, something like that. If you earn, that's a great reward system, actually.
Well, you can link that up with the air flight centers, and you know, like, which is common. That was in a movie too, by the way. And the kids were like being trained to hook things up. And like, if I sleep this much, I'll get so many points. And if I help mom with dishes, I get so much points. And but anyway, I think we're moving into management, which is kind of cool. It's an incentive. What else we got? Let's talk about like insomnia. Insomnia, like it's kind of a medical condition where someone has trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, often leading to late night and wakefulness. So what does that mean? Is it, do you share that with your community? Do you go with that? How does that?
Yeah, I haven't really gotten deep into insomnia specifically, but it's not something I've struggled with myself, but I know it causes a lot of, you know, mental illness overall, and it's a really tough thing to endure. And yeah, I have not had to experience that. I'm grateful for it, but I know that's a terrible condition to have.
That is a terrible condition. Is that, do you think that is more like a chemical imbalance or something that's created through stress and anxiety, where you know that if you do a lot of anxiety, it's difficult coming off that treadmill of anxiety, because it compounds it's like a compounded interest, you know, it accumulates, and it's difficult to sit back and step back behind yourself and think about, geez, I'm caught in that, how do I get rid of it? You could be running like, you can actually put yourself in that space, by mentally putting yourself in that space, you don't even know you're there until it really hits you. So,
right. Yeah. And I think certainly stress, anxiety can cause some of the milder cases, you know, and not aware of, you know, the other scenarios, but I would assume some chemical imbalances can cause that. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, for myself, if I'm particularly anxious, I think a lot of people have experience where they just can't fall asleep, or tossing and turning, you know, throughout the night. And maybe, you know, maybe you've got a big day ahead of you, something you're nervous about. Mm. I've definitely experienced that myself, to where it's just hard to get to sleep. But I think physical activity definitely helps combat sleeplessness in general, and just having that regularly active lifestyle is definitely going to help, you know, and getting into some kind of meditation or prayer practice, getting into a community as well, you know, whether it's a support group or, you know, a group therapy that you go to on a weekly basis. But that's just as essential as the other things like exercise, eating, you know, as best you can, things like that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, absolutely. I get that. Do I have anything to add on to that? It's like, let me think. Yeah, so we touched that insomnia could be credited to a chemical imbalance. It could be something that we get caught in the on the treadmill, a running treadmill, not knowing when to stop. My example with that would be like I took a nice big trip, and it wasn't a cheap, you know, it was very expensive for me because I've got a mind that's kind of conservative. And so I came back, and in my mind I put this idea that, oh, I've got to now go really hard in work and nonstop, right? And I just put on the gas pedal, right? Really went hard. And I did that for 3 months. And that's, and to me, that wasn't a good thing, right? There was no regulation. I was unregulated. I was always on the edge. There were sleepless nights, not only trying to deal with that kind of thing, but also had this emotional stuff going on, life matters and whatnot. So it was difficult for me to get off. And before I knew it, I was losing control. I just had to get off that treadmill real quick. And what helped me was I went to hot water springs in Melbourne. I took the plane to Melbourne, hired a car, jumped in the car and went to Melbourne and then just dipped all day. Actually, a whole day. It was a festival season. There was yoga and all that sort of thing. So there's all this naturalistic stuff to do, meditation, like you mentioned. But the hot water springs, wow, right? It just melted within a couple of days. I was gone. I was just like, whoa, look how quickly we can get balanced back to, you know, the neutral state.
Right? Yeah, that's definitely powerful when you can find something. And, you know, even if you like a hot tub at your gym, if they have one of those, that can kind of simulate something like that. Or sitting in a sauna has been super therapeutic for me before. So, yeah, I think something to do with the heat that, you know, helps calm the body. And okay. But if you can find something to latch onto that's going to alleviate some of that stress, I think that's super powerful. And something along those lines is going to be a great option, like sauna, hot tub, hot springs, if you have that around you.
Because there was minerals in the water. That was the advantage. There's minerals floating, you know, getting in, seeping into our skin and seeping into the area, and also just calms the nerves. And the thing is, it was different, right? It was totally different. I think there's a part of the recipe, it was totally something different. It broke the chain of the habit of, you know, now we're talking about sleep. We have to get into create the chains of the links between the sleep. But I used to run a group like yourself, a little group. It was more on one-on-one coaching, but we started with meditation, breathing, then we went to meditation, then we fell asleep, right? That was during the COVID days. We had a lot of time then, right? We had a lot of time to experience ourselves holistically, and that was wonderful. Best time. But okay, so experiencing something quick, like changing the environment real quickly, can actually help us with anxiety and depression. Now, I know, have you heard of the thing called 5-4-3-2-1 go? Do you come across that? Mel, someone?
I have heard of that when you're trying to start something, whether, you know, it's something where you've been procrastinating or it's just something you don't want to do, but you know you need to. Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it was just the other day. It was we got a heat wave here. Actually, we got a heat wave here, and it was pretty hot. And so went down to my local pool up here, a community pool, and the water's cold. Still winter up here, right? But it was just a wonderful day today. Also, it's pretty sunny. And there was, like, the water's really cold. I'm watching people, like, just dip in there, toes in there and getting a bit of splash, and as that wave splash, it was the torch was terrible when you got just splash instead of just diving in, not diving, jumping in, right? And I said to myself, I looked at my friend, I said, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm going, just dipped in the cold water. And I had to get out because it was pretty cold because I had to keep swimming. But there was coming out that the sensation of just changing that mindset of self-doubt, you know, that point of just doing something like that. To me, that was cool because, again, it's like we can change things real quick. We have tools, like whether you're doing hot water or you're doing cold water or ice baths,
right?
It's like shocking the system, you know, because it comes up, you regular that way, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't tried ice plunges before, but I've heard a lot of benefits. And like you said, shocking the system. And even if, you know, let's say you're doing or trying to do some menial task and just the countdown of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I think that's super helpful of just kind of jolting yourself into the activity. And a lot of it is just getting started. You know, it's the, once you get started and in it and into a flow state, then it's a lot easier to continue. But just the there's something, you know, in your brain that where you've been procrastinating, and it's the friction of starting the activity. But once you're able to start, you know, and stick with it for at least a few minutes, you're in more of a flow with it. So yeah, I do like that exercise. I think I'm going to start implementing that a lot more of myself.
Yeah, so whenever you feel self-doubt, just go with that. You don't want doubt. Doubt's like the second voice in our head, you know. You don't want doubt to catch up to. So you want to keep practicing that one. So whether it's, you know, learning to sleep again at the right times, don't think twice. I mean, I think it takes a lot of discipline, you know, to change. I think
absolutely.
The environment must be comfortable. I think we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's look at lifestyle choices. Consuming coffee, I like tea, coffee, other stimulants in the evening can disrupt sleep patterns. So some people who have ADHD, by the way, and they actually love coffee. They live off coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
It calms them down. So they'll have buckets, right? Or some of us, we can overdose on it and we can't sleep at all. So tell me, what do you think of that?
Yeah, that's something I actually kind of overdid it with coffee not too long ago. And, you know, you can, it's easy when you're like working on your computer and you're really just trying to get something done. You just, you know, put on another pot and just keep filling up your mug. And before you know it, you know, you're having heart palpitations and it's, you know, like, okay, it's time to stop. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And you've got a catastrophic mind. You're definitely thinking now I'm having some sort of heart attack or something, a panic attack from it. So you can get mixed, right? So you've got to be careful.
Yeah. It could definitely be a tool, but it's something to where, you know, it is, caffeine is a drug. So you definitely want to be mindful of that. And, you know, if you see yourself just drinking way too much, you know, and mixing in tea can be helpful too, like green tea or black tea, if you need a stimulant, you know, maybe. I know a lot of folks who will keep it at like 2 cups a day of coffee. And then like from there, you can always move over to, you know, green tea, black teas. I like those to kind of balance out the, you know, the strength of the coffee, something a little more mild but that still, you know, kind of provides a stimulant. I think getting enough sleep is super helpful as well, though, to where you don't need as much, you know, because it's not necessarily giving you more energy. It's just basically triggering your brain to, you know, triggering a certain neurotransmitter. I don't know the science, but so that you don't feel tired as much, you know. So it's not giving you energy. It's just basically some kind of numbing of a neurotransmitter that that makes you feel like you're not as tired. So
yeah. What about sugar? Sugar intake.
I sugar mean, is a drug as well. Yeah. And
it's just thing sugar, but still like you take sugar with your coffee, it's like stimulant, it just overdoes.
Yeah, know. No. I mean, sugar is great for a good dopamine rush, but it's a drug, and it can also be a poison if you completely overdo it. And you know, obviously there's diseases like diabetes and high blood sugar and all that. So and something you definitely, you know, you can enjoy it from time to time. It's something that I've definitely, you know, overdone it at times. I think we all have it because
lack of sleep, because it was that lots of coffee, great recipe.
And I was just going to say, with the artificial sweeteners too, you have to be careful with those. I know like ones like maltitol, those will cause lots of bloating and stevia, I know is a decent alternative to sugar. So in the store, they usually will carry stevia these days. That's, you know, I know that's coming from a plant. And then there's monk fruit extract, which is another one that's kind of newer on the market. But those are kind of some you can mix in, maybe, you know, put those into your coffee as an alternative to sugar.
So what you're telling me, we definitely have to develop a mind of detail.
Mm-hmm.
We want to succeed to sleep regularly and create a habit and create a pattern. We definitely need to do some disciplined stuff here. So, yeah. Hey, let's move along. Let's talk about screen time, exposure to blue light. Phones, tablets, computers can inhibit the production of melatonin and a hormone that regulates our sleep. So how do we control that? Again, we have to be disciplined with our screen time, right?
Yeah, and it's so, again, you know, social media is another drug, really. It's easy to, you know, especially if you have the apps installed on your phone, to whenever you are having an urge for some kind of dopamine rush or some kind of payoff, quick payoff in your brain, then you're going to, you know, start scrolling through YouTube or Instagram, whatever you may have. So I would advise, if you're not using the social media for building a presence, let's say, you know, building a brand or whatnot, I would remove it. You know, it's best to remove it if you're not using it to post or build a brand or something like that online. I think the cons are definitely greater than the pros if you're just going to have it to, you know, to scroll around. And one thing I've been using as a replacement, so I use LinkedIn for my job, and instead of going on YouTube or another one like that, I mean, you can still go on YouTube, but maybe as an alternative, look at something that's going to, you know, be educational or something related to mental health that's going to give some kind of value. And you know, entertainment is okay here and there, but it can definitely become consuming, especially on social media. So, you know, I know on iPhones, they have a great screen time feature where you can, you know, restrict the apps after a certain amount of minutes. So I would fully utilize, you know, what's on your phone for setting those, you know, the screen time limits, and then, you know, remove some apps that you don't need, you know, and that you're not using to build let's say you're building a personal brand or a business brand, that's fine, you know, but limit the amount of times you go on there. If you're kind of just using it for scrolling, try removing it for a few days, and you know, try something else, whether that be watching something educational on YouTube or something that's gonna give you some value. And it can still be, you know, educational and entertaining. There's a lot of great videos out there that kind of have a mix of both.
Yeah, I know that being creative, I'm always on the computer. I have to watch myself. I'm like, and I can overstimulate myself. And we're coming back to sleeping, and the mind is overstimulated. It's difficult. It goes into this creative state, right? I'm having a great time. That's the issue. I'm having a great time doing it. I'm creative. I'm in my space. In the creative space, there's no other. We're like you said. I love the word you said. Purpose. So when you feel you're in purpose, you can stay awake forever. Like there's an energy there, and then you come up. Oh, the sun's come up. What have I done? but yeah. Okay. So screen time, manage that. Cool. I love the apps, and I really like the way you said, do things with purpose. If it doesn't have, don't go just scrolling because you're trying to avoid some other things, some other mental issues or stresses or emotions that you're covering up. Which is another thing we just bypass or park somewhere to the side. Now we're parking it. Let's look at emotional distress, feelings of sadness, grief, depression that can lead to like a prolonged period of wakefulness. So talk to me about a little bit on that.
Say that one more time.
Let's look at physical discomforts, like pain from conditions like arthritis. No, actually emotional distress I'm talking about. Feelings of sadness, grief, depression can lead to prolonged periods of wakefulness. So we stay awake because we're feeling sad too long, right? Or we grief or something's happened to us, or we have a depression, right? They can lead us to prolonged periods of wakefulness, we're staying awake.
Sure. No, absolutely. And it's definitely tough to, maybe even initiate that bedtime if you're already in an anxious mood or feeling kind of down. I think something that's helped me is herbal tea can be helpful for like winding down at the end of the day. And whether that's like a peppermint tea or something like that, or I know they have something called sleepy time tea as well that will actually, start. It's got some herbs in there that encourage falling asleep. So that's something you could consider if you're trying to get in bed and get to sleep. But I think having some kind of routine at night helps as well. Turning off the screens if you can, like in, 30 minutes to an hour before your bedtime. I think that's ideal. And reading a book or calling someone, calling a friend, calling a loved one, if you can, that might be helpful. And it can be tough though, for sure. And one thing is that, we as humans, we can't control the fact that we're going to experience emotions, but we can kind of, pull back and kind of. And stoicism sort of does this to where you kind of detach a little bit and you kind of just observe the emotion and where might this be coming from? Trying to identify the trigger, whether it's related to your personal life, maybe a romantic relationship that's going through a rough spot, or maybe you're it's tough at work, you have a tough work life. So I think it's helpful to see if you can identify if there is a trigger. Maybe it's something that happened in the past or a past issue or trauma that you went through. Maybe it would be good to go to counseling or therapy to start, as painful as it may be, talking about that and addressing that it happened, so you can, start to progress into the now and the future. Because while the events that happened in the past can certainly be painful, we can still choose to be present, and that goes back to mindfulness. Be present in the moment, identify where those feelings are coming from, and then get the help we need, whether that's through a counselor, a friend, a therapist, and then having the hope for the future, and building those healthy habits that will compound and create a healthier, happier future while releasing and letting go of those bad habits. So I think that's one way you can start to do that. But
Yeah, so absolutely, absolutely. And it's all about sitting with those feelings, knowing that this too shall pass. We can use that as a you know, we all feel sad. Okay, grief might have been you must have lost something or somebody or even a pet, and we need positive distractions. That's what we need. You know,
right.
Find positive distractions, and sort of it allows us to just, you know, move away for a little bit, like you said earlier. Oh, good, good. I like that. Let's move on to physical discomforts. Like when we're in pain, it's difficult to go to sleep, like arthritis, headaches, or, you know, what can we do to help us with that? There's a lot of people who are in pain and they can't sleep because of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I haven't had to deal with extensively myself, but I know a lot of folks who will go to, you know, an orthopedic and, you know, maybe massage therapy can be helpful as an alternative. I know, like, CBD massages.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are actually can help with the inflammation, and you know there's some natural herbs like turmeric that are good and anti-inflammatories, but so taking some of the holistic routes, you know, there's an Epsom salt bath that may be helpful in some cases. But of course, it's, you know, important to consult with your doctor, see what the options are there, and then, you know, kind of identify whatever pain relieving activities you can put into your daily routine. You know,
yeah, can we like become like gladiators and take the pain and sit with it for a while? Physical pain, I'm talking about. I mean, it's there, and do you believe that we can go beyond ourselves and holistically heal ourselves with our mind? Like, first we've got to be able to be okay with the pain until we like it, then we can put those remedies that you mentioned. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think exercising or weightlifting, for example, is a great way to practice doing that, of building, I guess, more of a pain tolerance, because you know, you're basically ripping your muscle fibers. So, you know, one thing I like to do is, you know, find a pull-up bar and just do a hang from the pull-up bar until failure. And that, things like that can help with kind of building up your pain tolerance. So weightlifting is a great one, I would say. And I mean, if you're in real pain, it's, you know, of course, important to, you know, go see a doctor if it's something in serious pain. But I know David Goggins, he's big on, you know, enduring pain and, you know, doing ultra marathons and just, I know what he says, and I don't know how true this is, but when we feel like we can't go any further, or are, you know, let's say you're running a marathon and you feel like you can't continue, we're only about 40%. At about 40% of our capacity or physical capacity. So I thought that was always pretty interesting, but it's, I think the more we ourselves, you know, we know our bodies the best. So it's important to know when it's time to stop as well.
Okay, interesting. But I like what you mentioned. I'll just add on resilience, creating our resilience through our thinking. And if you put attention, too much attention to the pain then increases. There's meditations for pain, to move pain from one area to the other where it's not painful. We can do that. But I like David what was his name?
David Goggins.
Goggins.
He's a retired Navy SEAL, but he's pretty extreme, not going to lie. But
yeah, he's no, no, definitely... No.
definitely very inspiring, you know,
there's something for listeners to actually, you know, take note and maybe get, you know, research dealing with pain, you know.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to this saying, you know, a strong body is a strong mind. So I think there is some truth to that, to where if you can endure a lot of, you know, physical pain, whether that be self-inflicted through exercise and, you know, running marathons, things like that, I think it definitely helps when you're going through these emotions, these feelings, these, you know, sadness, anxiety. It's definitely going to help you become more resilient through those and push through.
I think for me it was to push through my pains, the exercise I had. I call it here, we're here for experience and for creating exercises and having some purpose in life. For me, it was like my teething pain, right? You know, I extract a few teeth, but I didn't want them to come out. So, you know, I created this resilience of not pulling them out and just, but I, the good thing was that I endured the pain, right? It's probably one of the most, where's the summon nerves around the jaws and whatnot, right? So I know where I'm going with this, but I felt like it was interesting to be able to cope with the pain for such a long time until it was time for them to, okay, that's it, I've had it, you know?
Yeah.
Probably get used to the pain. That's what I'm saying. So if we're not able to surrender to the pain, right, physical, mental, we're not going to get our sleep, simple as that. We're always going to be in the pain. We need a distraction. We need to build up resilience. Cool. Moving on to environmental factors like noisy surroundings or uncomfortable temperatures can distract us from falling asleep. Just quickly on that one. And
so environmental distractions. So yeah, I guess, you know, let's say you have, you know, a lot of kids at home, or maybe you live around a noisy intersection like I do. So, you know, there's ways to, I think, to combat that, whether it's having, you know, having a place wherever you're at, whether, you know, you might be in an apartment or a townhouse and, you know, you got noisy neighbors, you like to party on, you know, on the weekends. And
yeah,
I think, you know, having some earplugs or earmuffs, you know, like, when you go to sleep,
yeah,
you know, something like that. And I know there's a lot of, you can get pretty into it with all the sleep products out there, like air filters and, you know, diffusers and whatnot. But yeah, I would say kind of, you know, if you have some environmental factors, just identify them, what's keeping you up, whether that's, you know, your noisy kids or you know, your neighbors are kind of loud, you know. Finding a way to set a room aside in the house where you can go to get that sleep, and you know, investing in something like a, you know, just some earplugs or earmuff, you know. I know for me, I've used like blackout curtains because I'm pretty sensitive to light in the morning. So something like that, or just an eye mask, a sleep mask, you know, would be helpful. So yeah, I think that, you know, identifying what's keeping me up, you know, in my environment, and then.
Okay. I think it's everything you said is wonderful. I also think the power of acceptance is really important. My example would be like many, many, many years ago in my 20s, we used to live right next to a railway track, right? Three railway tracks. And it was like you can hear the place was shaking down, right? But here's the key. We ignored it. We accepted it. We accepted it. Even, you know, we to begin with, we were sensitive to it, but then we accepted it as a family. And they were there, but you just ignored them. So can we have the power of ignorance? Ignorance can be a blessing. And especially when it comes to like this, you know, environmental thing. So are we going to give a lot of them, stimulate it, or are we going to ignore it? So I thought that came up to me. I thought, yeah, I got an example. I remember living right next to like six railway thingy, you know, train lines, right?
Yeah.
They were going back and forth, like right there, right? I can throw a stone at the train I was passing, but I didn't, you know, just a joke. But
yeah.
So close, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, I was just gonna say I have similar experience to where, well, used to live on Long Island when I was younger, and they would have the Long Island Railroad was just there, and you could hear the when the doors would open, you would hear "Stand clear of the closing doors, please," or you know, so you would hear that in the night, and they also had like blow horns with the fire departments that would go off as a test, and you know, but something you would just get used to, you know. I didn't really bother me. I think the human body is pretty powerful to where you can acclimate to basically anything with enough time.
So what we give attention to and what we think is disturbing is a problem. That's where we're coming up with this. Like what we give attention to, energy goes where it flows. But yeah, it's kind of cool. Also white noise. White noise, some people actually find that comfortable to sleep with. Or the trains or buses going past, whatever. So we can get used to white noise also. And people, there's also meditations are made on white noise, right? So that should help you sleep. All right, let's move on to something called napping during the day, long or late afternoons. Naps can disrupt the nighttime sleep. I got an addition to that. When I've pushed myself to the extreme and I've only had 4 hours sleep, I tend to come and meditate. It's kind of a between a nap and a meditation. I find it very rejuvenating. Then I move on to the rest of the 4 or 5 hours day. And being self-employed, I was able to do that. And I found it very interesting. But according to this script I'm reading at the moment, napping during the day, you like or late afternoons can disrupt the nighttime sleep.
Yeah, I definitely experienced that to where, and it can be helpful, you know, if you're sleep deprived enough, you can probably fit in a nap and still a full night of sleep. But I think in some cases it can be helpful to just power through it until, you know, and then get in bed early that night.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also, maybe you didn't sleep the best the last night. You can kind of use that as a tool to start getting into that earlier night routine to where, you know, maybe you went to bed late previous night, you know, use that as a tool. Oh, I'm pretty, you know, I'm ready to end the day. So, you know, use that as a tool to get in bed early and start building that habit and can act as a reminder.
Sometimes we need to push ourselves not to fall asleep, even though you might have 3 hours sleep, because you know it's going to ruin your pattern. And if we keep doing that, it's definitely not going to be a 10 o'clocker, is it? So that's cool. Thanks for that. Let's move on to irregular sleep schedule, like inconsistent bedtime routines can affect the body's internal clock. So
sure.
What's happening at
the moment? And this is something that, you know, it can be tough to be consistent because you might have an event you're going to on the weekend or, you know, staying up a little later to get some work done. But it comes back to being a discipline and something you really have to devote yourself to. And, you know, once you start something, I think they say, you know, once you get into a habit and do it for about 21 days or so, it starts to get easier and becomes more of a ritual at that point. So
it does. I think also, Joey, is to be able to use the JOMO, it kind of rhymes, JOMO, joy of missing out, right? And like we were also chasing things we think like we're going to be missing out, or we're going to go to, you know, we think we're going to miss out on something. And so we can continue chasing and it's becoming consistent, but this doesn't allow us just to stay still in the moment and just enjoy the present moment of what is, but we're consistently chasing things. That's the problem. So we can exercise the JOMO. We can maybe deal with regular sleep schedules, you know, we can actually be more content you know, and right. wouldn't be so fired up because we're always chasing something, thinking we're missing out on something, which is kind of popular thing he was talking about at the moment. Yeah. What about the excitement? Let's move on to another one. Excitement or anticipation, positive events or expectations can lead to increased energy levels at night. I think I mentioned for me, it was like that surge of creativity. What about you?
Yeah, I think, let's say if you have a creative project on your mind or something like that, it can, you know, definitely make it a little harder to fall asleep. And something, a tool you might want to use is it, you know, whether you have a journal or some kind of, you know, a whiteboard or something where you can just jot those ideas down. And that way your mind's not racing and you're not worried that you're going to forget that idea. So maybe, you know, open a journal, open a note on your phone, you know, and just write a note in your notes app. And I think that's a great way to settle your mind a little bit. So, you know, you have this recorded, you'll go back to it. Right now it's time to rest and we'll work on that tomorrow. So I think it's definitely powerful to get it written down so your mind's not racing and worrying that you're going to forget it.
Man, I'm addicted to that. It comes to the next point, the creative thinking mindset, which is like, it's all, like you said, it's popping all this information. I've got to capture it right now. This feels good. I'm addicted to that kind of thing. So I had many, many sleepless nights because I was so, you know, I have to keep creating new podcasts, right? Because I'm a podcaster and, you know, anxiety coach. But I know that this, man, I could be creating and just night turns into day very quickly, right?
Without
chasing that, just loving that experience. That's the thing. So it can be addictive. Creative thinking, some people find that their best ideas come at night. It's prompting them to stay awake, to explore their thoughts even further. So, oh, yeah, this is cool. Look where this is going. Can't wait till the world hears this. Right.
Yeah. And that's wonderful to have those creative thoughts, I think. But when you want to shut your brain off and maybe even do like a voice memo, just talking to your phone, what's going through your head.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then just say, hey, I'm going to shut off right now. I'm going to, this can wait till morning and pick it up then.
That's it. Shut down that energy. The more we're into the creative mind, we're just creating this amazing, amazing energy, right? And that's why we can't sleep, because the energy, the burst of energy and the excitement, you know? We can get excitement that leads into extremity. Extremity leads into anxiety if you're not aware of it. So this energy burst, like, you know, from creativity is what keeps us asleep too. Moving on. On to social activities, engaging late night. Social events and gathering can push to bedtime later. Man, that takes discipline not to say no, right? Depending what age you're at.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, alcohol can definitely be a, you know, if you're going to a late night social gathering and you're drinking there, you know, social drinking, yeah, that can definitely be a big, you know, big negative to your sleep that night. But yeah, I would say, you know, if you are going to drink, try to push it earlier in the day so your body has some time to detoxify from all that. But personally, I don't drink at all really anymore, and if I do, it's, you know, maybe like twice a year is where I'm at right now. But I don't really miss it, you know, because, you know, you kind of, you've been there, you've done that, and it's a disruptor to your sleep. But I would say, yeah, with like the late night gatherings, you know, try to, you know, it's totally fine, but try to be mindful of it and have a healthy relationship with that. You know, maybe if there are drinks there, try to, you know, have a mocktail or something without alcohol, if it's going to be later in the night, something that's going to keep you from falling asleep. So, and I know some people have experienced the opposite, to where they fall asleep a little easier, but it's definitely not a habit you want to get into. So yeah, you know, like you said, if you're at a younger age, it's pretty normal to want to go out to, you know, a late night gathering or something, but just be mindful and try to keep it at a minimum, I would say, and have a healthy relationship with that as best as you can.
You said it, fear of missing out, right? As it is at a certain age, decide to stay connected, engage with friends and online communities can lead into staying awake, right? Again, that's right. Another issue that you have to say no to. There's a lot of no's that need to happen. Once you say no, we leave space for other things to come in life. We keep saying yes to things. That's just an energy that we're pushing towards, and yeah, it's very distracting. There's no way we can keep a habit, right?
Right.
We need to say no to solidify no to things, and to stay with our focus, stay with our purpose. Moving away now to keeping awake as a distraction. I love this one. Keeping away as a distraction. Many of us. I use the nights as the time to distract ourselves from irritating, intrusive thoughts, mental thoughts, then can lead into in various ways. For me, there's some hidden things I can't see sometimes. I'm thinking there's something that's locked into my subconscious and I can't put my hands onto it, but I know it's there, it's keeping me awake, even though I can't identify it. Right? Some past traumas that haven't been resolved yet. And I'm staying awake because I don't want to face them or my mind's not going there. Or so some have that kind of thing. What's your comments on that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. If you're reflecting on, you know, something that happened in the past. And I would say, you know, a lot of that can go back to meditation.
Yeah.
And grabbing some herbal tea or whatever you go to, you know, something, you know, a hot drink can help calm you down a bit. And then just having some time to meditate, pray, whatever works best for you. And I mean, there are a lot of exercises you can go through with a therapist, counselor to start to alleviate yourself from those past traumas or issues that come up, and something to where, you know, what's been helpful for me is just knowing that it's in the past, it's come and gone, and the future could be different. You know, the future can look different than what we've experienced prior. So, but yeah, I would say just being mindful of it and not necessarily trying to push it away, but acknowledging that it's coming up in your mind, but also knowing that that's come, it's past, and now we're in the present, and the future can be different. The future can be full of hope and joy, and we can create that future as well, you know. Obviously, you know, we may find ourselves in an environment that's, you know, deterring that, but you can always change your environment or change the way you respond to that environment.
100%. You know, when we talk about environments, it's one of the keys to changing the habit. Or yeah, it's all about the change of the habit. That's the key there. And I know where the similar thoughts coming out of the atomic habit. There's a chapter on that itself. And especially when we just got to change the environment, simple as that. And you nailed it on that one. I've got a few more things to mention here. I'll go meditation and breathing exercises. While some find these techniques helpful in promoting sleep, others may struggle to quieten the minds, leading to a prolonged wakefulness instead of relaxation. So yeah, meditation, breathing exercises. So yeah, well, I did some breathing exercise that they helped me to just calm the nervous system down, preparing for bed. So do you use those? Do you do that? Do you breathe before?
Yeah.
I'm just been studying a certain type of breath though.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Or
one time I'll usually do a lot of deep breathing during workouts. So when I'm weightlifting, that's typically very helpful to just calm down the nervous system when you're, you know, lifting heavier weights. But yeah, as well as if it's even during the day and I'm going through something stressful at work, just taking a moment. And, you know, I usually will inhale 5 seconds, hold for about 3 seconds, exhale about 8 seconds. And doing that a few times, you know, just going through the simple basic act of breathing, which is keeping us alive on a daily basis and in the present moment, I think is super powerful. Just going back to that basic function of life, you know, and that will help kind of ground yourself. Hey, we're here in this present moment, and whatever you're going through, you know, you'll be able to address it one step at a time by just stopping, slowing down, practicing that deep breathing, and then that definitely will help ground you and bring you back to reality a little bit.
That's wonderful. Also, we can talk about avoidance. Avoidance is a big one, like staying awake. We might intentionally kind of avoid dealing with difficult emotions or situations, believing that keeping busy is a thing is will prevent the need to face our thoughts. So I like that. I know my mom was really busy in her life, right? Nonstop, continually busy, not knowing how to slow down, not knowing how to breathe and exercise, never had that idea. But we can keep busy and we can use that as a distraction. So we need to go into the idea, look, I'm not missing out on anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to, I think it's not facing our fears. Yeah, like I mentioned with that movie, not facing our fears. Then we also have nighttime reflection. Some people may find that the quietness of the night allows for deep reflection, but this can also lead to confronting uncomfortable truths, unresolved conflicts, making it hard to drift off. So, how do you find, you're affected by any of these? I know I am, you know, I find it difficult. I have a stimulated mind.
Yeah, and it's tough if, you know, if you're looking at the news daily and just current events, you know, maybe you're concerned about the economy or, you know, there are a lot of things, external factors that maybe are not under your control that can definitely contribute to some sleeplessness.
Yeah.
But I would say going back to mindfulness and being present in the moment, you know, is super helpful. And meditation, whether that be, I know there's transcendental meditation where you're, you know, or just mindfulness meditation, finding a meditation practice or you know, prayer, if that's what is in your routine, to drive that worry, drive that angst back into that practice and you know, drive that nervous energy back into something creative like meditation or journaling. There are, you know, those adult coloring books that could be pretty soothing, you know, to, I think it comes back to just being able to transmute that energy and knowing that you can't control everything, every external factor. You can do the best you can to, you know, if you're really concerned about some kind of current event, you know, create some kind of initiative or get together with your community to you know, start addressing that worry, that concern, you know, do what you can that's in your control, but also know that there's going to be an extent to the fact that it's out of your control to a certain extent. So taking that remaining nervous energy, channeling it to something productive like meditation and, you know, knowing that this too shall pass, as far, like you said, with the current emotion.
That's right. Beautiful. Hey, we probably wind up now, Joey. I think we're going to give a little light. Last point is procrastination. Staying awake to finish tasks or projects can serve as a distraction from deeper emotional issues, allowing us to focus on immediate responsibilities rather than confronting our feelings. So sometimes we're just not facing that. We're procrastinating the idea that we should be facing ourselves, right? No one itself. So that's causing an issue. It's causing a loop. Just a few parting words. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, procrastination, that's something that everyone encounters at some point. It's just part of the human experience for all of us at some point. Mm. But, you know, something that can definitely be addressed. And
yeah,
whether you're procrastinating going to sleep at the time you said you would go to sleep, or whether that's, you know, another task that's been on your list for some time, I think it all comes back to, you know, that it's the path of it's that resistance, that friction that you're facing initially. And like you said, doing something like counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, and just starting, throwing yourself into it. And then it'll be a lot easier once you get started. It's just getting started. That's the biggest barrier. So, you know, I would say finding ways you can, whether you're going to take some deep breaths first and then count down, but throwing yourself into it, like you said, jumping into the cold water. And I suppose you could do things like taking cold showers and things like that, that are going to shock your body. And that can help, you know, and then you just go right into that activity afterwards. So maybe, you know, you need to write an email or, you know, do some kind of task that's been on your list for a while, maybe jump in cold shower, you know, and then come out, use that shock to your system to start the activity and just throw yourself into it. So
thinking about whatever we resist tends to persist. It's very, very, I don't know where that came from, but it's so true. And it's, we're talking about this right now, and feeling that we're not going to get the quality sleep if we're looping our thoughts. Our thoughts are wherever, analyzing, causing analysis paralysis, and we're not going to get that quality sleep if we don't face ourselves, right? There's something we need to address. There's a trauma within us that's conditional, and we need to address that. If we and then we can apply all these tools, right, all these practices, so we can get that quality sleep. And it's all about, you know, and having a purpose. The purpose is to create a sleep environment that is healthy for us, so we you know, create that longevity in life and happiness, and not going back. So I think, Joey, I think we've done a good job today, Maddie. Thank you for showing up. We had a couple of questions asked, but I think we addressed it quite well. And buddy, how can we get in touch with you? I know there's a lot of listeners that have got a lot of benefit from our chat here, our talk, anxiety talk.
And, Well, we're in the middle of a 90-day sleep challenge right now. So the main objective there is committing to a certain bedtime every night and sticking with it to the best of your ability. I'll leave the wake-up time to you. That's optional, but just starting easy, you know, path of less resistance to where you're just committing to a bedtime. So whether that's, you know, 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, where you're in bed, lights off, you know, if you have a reading light, you know, you can read with a reading light, but having that routine established, and that's going to lead to a lot of regulation of your system over time. Just a great way to start addressing depression specifically and anxiety. Mm. The community I'm a part of right now and leading really as a peer is mostly focused on finding just holistic ways to deal with depression, to address depression. So sleep is one of the primary areas where I wanted to start addressing that. And that's part of why we're doing this sleep challenge. So you can go to empathymind.com and you can get, you know, a few updates for accountability during the sleep challenge. We're, I think, about week 4 of the challenge, but you can definitely jump in. That's something you want to do. And yeah, I'm sending, you know, periodic emails to check in, see how everyone's doing, and you know, maybe you'll find that you'll need to adjust a little bit, maybe, you know, for your schedule. So that's fine too. It's a lot of it is just becoming more self-aware as well, and knowing what works for you, what's going to fit with your schedule. So yeah, that's where you can check us out.
Well, send me that link and any other details you want us to put. We're putting a lot of stuff on the description box. This podcast will be available on Spotify, iHeart, and iTunes, Apple. It'll also be available on YouTube. So we'll get around. So yeah, thank you for sharing your values, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. And you're doing it. I love your purpose, my man. So helping people out, how to create and nurture sleeping habits, and healthier life and longevity. Beautiful. Yeah,
absolutely. That's the biggest goal, is just helping in whatever capacity I can, and one person at a time, just as a peer, you know, as someone going through it myself. So
and dealing with our depression, anxieties, it's we need tools, and this is it. This is the discipline we need to have. All right, Joey, we're gonna close up, so thank you once again, my man. So look forward to hearing you again, and let's see how we go. And I will definitely jump on one of your community sleeping. Yeah, it'd be great.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me, Nick. I really, really appreciate it. Enjoyed this time together.
Yeah, same. Such a pleasure. All right. Bye from me. And yeah, all right. Thanks, Joey.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.